victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. And the Bible will say, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In other words, when you have faith in place, you win in every adventure. You win in every challenge. Hallelujah. And that is why we must always keep our faith going. Hallelujah. Praise God for testimonies. Thank God. I'm so excited when I hear what God is doing here as a result of God's word and no testimonies as a result of people applying their faith. Okay. But you know, we need to get greater testimonies. Amen. We need to see greater move of God in the house. Amen. And we'll do that by exercising our faith, by releasing our faith. Hallelujah. By stretching our faith, by letting our faith work. Amen. There is some, you see, with faith is a spiritual force that can change every situation. That's why the Bible will say, to him that believeth, nothing shall be impossible. In other words, when faith is in place, nothing is impossible. When faith is in place, nothing is impossible. When faith is in place, it doesn't matter what the situation presently or currently might look like. When your faith is in place, everything begins to walk in your direction for good. And that is why again and again we need to always exercise our faith. Stir up our faith. Let your faith arise. Because if you are not careful, you lose faith. Hallelujah. There are people that have lost faith. There are those that used to believe God and don't believe anymore. That people that have lost faith because of situations of life. Because, you know, some people used to believe in God. They used to go to church. They don't go anymore. Meet some people and say, oh, I used to do that. You know, we did that some time ago. Oh, when I was young, we used to do church a lot. But they don't have faith anymore because they've made, the Bible, Paul will talk about it. He said they've made a shipwreck of their faith. In other words, they've lost faith. And if you are not careful, in the world we live in, the present world that feels so, you know, technical, so educated, so advanced in, you know, education, and everybody thinks that they know beyond themselves. If you are not careful, you begin to lose faith because you begin to believe, man. You know, there are those that used to believe what the world says, but now they believe what Sky News says. You know, the faith now is based on what, especially when the recession was taking place and people began to look at what the news is, what's the next news. Which company is cutting down jobs? Which company are retrenching? Which company? Are you following what I'm saying? If you are not careful, your faith is not tied to what is actually happening in the world, what is happening in the society, and no longer on God. And when your faith is tied to the world, what happens is that you begin to retrogress in the things of God. But again and again, you need to learn to exercise your faith. Stretch your faith. Learn to believe more. Learn to trust more. Learn to see God move more. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Even our faith. When you get faith, you overcome anything. Thank God last Sunday, you know, as Sister Rhoda was testifying about the daughter who was a special needs child, diagnosed with autism. Okay? But through the word of God and through faith, now the child is no longer in the same class he used to be. Why? Because faith will change any situation. Well, it doesn't matter what anybody diagnoses, what any doctor says. It's okay, doctors will always have something to say. Hallelujah. You know, you must understand, you see, sometimes doctors can give you a name for a sickness that you've never heard about. And if you hear the name, the weight of the name alone is enough to destroy your faith. Hallelujah. They just give you this name. They call the sickness wanting of this and that. And you look at the name. What does this mean? The devil tells you it means that you are dying. Praise God. But you know, the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. In other words, in the midst of negative report, there is something that wins, and that is faith. And as people of God, we must always learn to exercise our faith. Faith not exercised does not produce. Faith must be exercised. In other words, when you get a report like that, what do you say? It's a lie. That doesn't stand. It is not true. I know the doctor have said everything wonderful. They've seen this, but it's not true. Why is it not true? Because the word of God does not agree with it. Hallelujah. And that is why, as the people of God, we need to learn to exercise our faith. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at the book of John, glory to God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for utterance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you because you are speaking to us already. John chapter 6. I want to show you a story there. Something happened there. Very profound story. And we'll just use that to, you know, we're taking communion today after. We'll see how far we go. Okay. Now, this is not the theme for the month. The theme of this month is the wonders of joy. Hallelujah. The wonders of joy. God helping us, we might touch that. If not, we'll talk about it next Sunday. Hallelujah. There is power in joy. It does wonders. Hallelujah. That's why God keeps saying, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Now let's do this first. John chapter 6, the Bible says from verse 4, I want to read it from the Message Bible because he used some words that I think I really relate to more than the King James Version, but it's still the same. Now, it says here from the Message Bible, it says, it was nearly time for the Feast of Passover, kept annually by the Jews. In other words, it was communion time. Hallelujah. It's communion time today. Glory to God. Verse 5, when Jesus looked out and saw that a large crowd had arrived, he said to Philip, where can we buy bread to feed these people? He said this to stretch Philip's faith. Hallelujah. He already knew what he was going to do. Now look at the scenario here. The Bible says it was communion time, Passover time, and Jesus saw a large crowd. A lot of people. In fact, you read down the story, the Bible says the men were about 5,000 men, excluding women, excluding children. And we know that in a meeting, you always have more women and children. Like if you look around today, I'm sure we have more women than men. Okay? Which is usually the case in most meetings. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us Jesus saw the crowd and he wanted to teach Philip something. You know, God is a very humorous God. He knows how to make fun. The Bible says Jesus already knew what he was going to do. But he not called Philip, now Peter, all of them there. You know, probably maybe he knows that if he called Peter, Peter will say, oh Lord, just turn everything to bread. He said, no, this one always has, you know, Peter is one of the disciples that have big mouth. Always talks before he thinks. He always, all of you would decide, will run away from me today, you would desert me. Lord, I will not, even if I need to die with you, I won't desert you. Jesus said, look at you, you're opening your mouth. Before the cock crow, you will run away. Hallelujah. Lord, let us build 3 tabernacles here. Jesus said, Peter, let's go. We are not building tabernacles. So he knows Peter. Peter will just say something. Okay, but Philip is a relaxed type. He doesn't know, very calculative. Maybe he knows how to make budget and everything. And Jesus said to Philip, he said, what will you buy bread to feed these people? And Philip said, what are you talking about? 200 silver coin will not even be enough. You know, some version says, if we work 6 months' salary, we will not feed these people. So that's the way some versions put it. Okay? If we work for months, we won't be able to feed these people. What are you talking about, Jesus? The Bible says Jesus did this to stretch Philip's faith. He wanted Philip to learn to come out from the calculation because that's what he just did. He just calculated, how are we going to be able to pay that bill? Do you understand what is happening here? Because Philip's mind is about calculation. Philip answered, 200 pennies, 40, this is amplified, $40 worth of bread is not enough that everyone may receive even a little. He has calculated, he's done the economical math, he's done everything. He's like, it's not possible. We can't feed these people. But Jesus wanted to stretch his faith. Come out from the realm of economy and begin to live in the realm of faith. That's what Jesus was trying to do. Jesus was trying to take him from that where, you know, but even if God has said, this is my year of supernatural harvest. Now, by January, if I do this, then maybe by March, maybe by December, maybe if we get to December, I would have gotten a little bit more. By your calculation. But God did not talk about the year of supernatural harvest because of what you can do. He said it because that is what he wants to do. The Bible says he already knew what he would do. God knows what he wants to do. Hallelujah. You see, when God spoke to us and said, no, this ministry, you're going to affect lives all over the world and this, that, 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 that. God wasn't saying he would do it because we are so mighty, we are so powerful, we have so many people. Are you following me? No, that's not why he said it. He said it because that is what he had decided to do. All you have to do is just agree with the word of God. All you got to do in your life, just agree with what the word says. If it says you are going right, just turn right. You know, somebody made a statement. He says, you know, Michael is wearing white. Can you stand for a minute, Michael? Now, Michael is putting on white. Okay, white shirt now. What is he wearing? White. Everybody sees white, isn't it? If God says this is black, whether you like it or not, you saw it's white, but it's not black. Are you following me? That is the way God is. He says, you are saying, but it's white. He says, no, it's black. And you know what? If you agree with him, it turns black. Bless you. Please sit down. All you got to do is agree with the word of God. If you set yourself in line with God's word, it doesn't matter what the present situation looks like. Or what the government or the economy says. We are not dealing by that. Come away from the calculation. Come away from this. Oh, how will I do it? Well, no. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If you want to see the hand of God, you want to see God move in your life, you must learn to walk by faith. You must learn to look at his word and say, Lord, what does the word say? One part of the Bible says, what saith the scripture? What saith the scripture? When the doctor tells you that you are going to die, take the Bible and say, what saith the scripture? I shall not die but live. What saith the scripture? You know, you must always learn to agree with what he says. The Bible says why Jesus was doing this. He just wanted to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. He already knew that he was going to feed 5,000 people. He already, and you know, when he eventually fed the 5,000 people, if you read down in the story, because I don't want to read everything, read it when you go home. The Bible says, now Andrew said to Jesus, there's a little boy here, he has 5 loaves and few fishes. And Andrew, when he made that statement, thought he was foolish. And I said to him, well, but what's actually, what use is that in this kind of crowd? In other words, Andrew, even though he said it, he didn't believe what he was saying. Are you following me? He just said, well, there's a little boy here who has with him 5 belly loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many people? In other words, my advice is very stupid. I know it's stupid, but I'm just saying it. It doesn't make sense, but you know, Jesus, there's a guy with just 5. Now we're talking about 5,000 men. You're talking about 5 loaves. Now he will feel very stupid, isn't he? It will feel very stupid. Imagine, you know, sometimes when we make declarations in the house, if you are not a man of faith and you don't sense faith, you feel very stupid. You will think, what are they saying? I said, God is raising millionaires in the house, and you look at everybody. Which one will build millionaires? If not, but boss pastor, they're talking about millionaires. Have they been able to sort out their house, their rent? Have they paid their bills? You're talking about millionaires. But it's not because of what you are. It's because of who he is. He knew what he was going to do. And when Andrew said that, the Bible says that Jesus said, make them sit. In other words, keep yourself in line with the actions of faith. The miracle hasn't happened yet, but make them sit. Get them ready for miracle. And that is why in our faith convention we say, we wait in expectation for the mighty release of your harvest. Why? Because we're making ourselves sit. We're getting ready. He'll do something. This year will not pass me by. God will break forth for me. God will do something great in my life. God will visit me this year. God will open a new door. It is not because of who I am or what I've done. I might be very weak at this point. It doesn't make any difference. I know there are some people, okay, they look at their life as a mess. No, they live away from God. You've been on drugs, or you live away one life. You've been no prostitute or whatever. You've lived so bad. And every time somebody says to you, you are a mighty man of God, you say, I wish you know my secret life. You won't say it. You know what? Like if I say to you, just not, God is going to make use of you. Thank you, Pastor, because you don't know who I am. If you know what I did before I came to church, you won't say that. If you knew where I was coming from before I came to church, you wouldn't even say that. God is not talking about where you are. He's talking about where he's taking you to. God is not concerned about your now. He talks about what he sees in you. He sees greatness. Nobody may see greatness. Everybody will see you as a failure. Probably everybody sees you as nothing good is coming out from your life. Everybody look at you and say, well, this one amount to nothing. Probably that is your family's opinion of you. Maybe you are the least in your family. In fact, that reminds us in the story of Gideon. The Bible says, Gideon, the angel came to him and said, that mighty man of valor. Gideon said, mighty man of valor, what are you talking about? You don't know me. I am, in fact, my father is from the least tribe. And I am the least in my own father's house. In other words, I am the least of the least. But God knows how to pick the least of the least and make them the best of the best. It doesn't matter where your life is right now. God is not looking at your present. You might have failed many times. Even with your walk with the Lord, you might have failed. But God is saying to you, there is something in you I see I can make use of. He said, but Lord, I'm not a strong Christian. Who is interested in strong Christian? He's interested in those that will obey and follow him. He's interested in those that will agree with him. Just agreeing with the word of God is what will produce the result. The Bible says Jesus made them sat, and how that he sat, he said to the disciples, now give them to eat. I'm sure all of them will say, oh, this is the most stupid thing we've ever heard. 5 loaves, we should give them to eat. Give 5,000 men. Can you see the crowd? He said we should give them to eat. Now, I'm sure maybe some of the, Philip, the calculator, you know, the economist, will still be saying, sometimes these people, when they begin to use faith, they don't use their brain. They just talk faith. They forget to use them. How can we give them to eat? But you know what Jesus said? Allow them eat. When they finished eating, Jesus said, get the remnants. And the Bible said they gathered 12 baskets full. Leftover of 12 baskets from 5 loaves. How can this be? The Bible said the Holy Ghost shall overcome you. The power of the highest will come upon you. And it will produce the result you are waiting for. All you need to do, people of God, is to agree with God. It doesn't matter your situation now. God sees it. You know, if you look at the story of the dry bones in Ezekiel 37, it's a similar story. Okay? The Bible says God saw the bones, dry skeletons, not joint skeletons. The skeleton was not together. The bones were broken. Hand this way, leg that way, head that way. The Bible says they were scattered upon the open valley. And Ezekiel said, behold, they were very dry. It wasn't like they were a little bit dry. They were very dry. Then God said to his son of man, can this bone live? He already knew what he was going to do. In the mind of God, God already saw a mighty army. But he was looking at the bones. And he wanted Ezekiel to be able to see the mighty army that he was seeing. But he was saying to Ezekiel, can these bones live? In other words, can you see what I see? Even God who quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were. He looked at him and said, can you see what I see? Can you get along with me? Can you come from the place of the natural and begin to walk in the place of faith? You just got the letter right now and the letter is so negative. It's not what you've expected. And now the letter makes you begin to see now. Oh, I wish. But God is saying, is that what you are seeing? Can you not see where I'm taking you to? Can you not see what I want to do in your life? Can you not see my promises concerning you? And he said to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. Come on, get yourself ready for a mighty army. Begin to prophesy. Now, if you are not, that is why the only thing you need to do, just agree with the word. Just do what he says. Ezekiel could have said, oh God, why waste time? There are people that are still alive. Please, there are those that are alive. If you want to use people, use the ones that are alive. There are those that are not dead. But he says, no, prophesy to the dead ones. Prophesy to the dry bones. And prophesy. Tell them they are going to live again. Tell them it's not over for them. Tell them that they are getting up again. And I say to somebody here today, it is not over for you. You are getting up again. God is going to make use of you. The hand of God is upon your life. Because this is just your beginning. Greater things are yet to be done. Greater things are yet to happen in your life. Stop writing yourself away. You are too young to write yourself off. Abraham began with God at 75. Moses began with God at 80. So how old are you that you have written yourself off? Oh, not maybe. No, stand up and agree with God's word. Say, prophesy. He prophesied the first time the Bible says, sin you came, everything flesh came, but there was no bread. It looked like it, but it's not it here. Then God said, prophesy again until you get what you're looking for. You see, God already knew what he was going to do. But he only wanted Ezekiel's faith to be stretched. He wanted Ezekiel to see in the supernatural. To see what faith can do. He wanted Ezekiel to come out from the place of, you know, oh, can it happen? Well, it doesn't happen. Oh, well, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe it's not my time. Maybe, well, maybe God has forgotten me. Well, maybe because of my sins. Maybe because I'm not good enough. Maybe. No, he wanted Ezekiel to come out of all that. Everything that gives you a reason for God not to walk in your life, come out of it. Everything the devil puts before you and makes you to feel like you are not good enough for God to use you, come out of it and begin to see faith in God. Begin to see God. See what God can do. And I say to you today, God will do great things. He hasn't stopped walking with you. He hasn't stopped with you. It's just the beginning. Greater things you will see in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, when we talk about faith, faith is just simply like you are not looking at the present. You are not looking at where you are. You are not looking at your present position. You are not looking at what the situation is. You are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. You are looking to the future, the evidence of things not seen. You are looking for something greater. When the Bible began to talk about his faith in Hebrews chapter 11, he began to say, I think I'm going to read that quickly. And Hebrews chapter 11, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Somebody getting blessed in the house. Oh, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, from verse number 33, the Bible says here, okay, or let me read from verse 32, okay, it says, and what shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophet, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Did you see that? They obtained promises. You know what it means to obtain promises? God has given you so much promise. He's spoken so much to you. Okay? And there are promises in the word of God, but there are some that are specific. And for us as a church this year, God has said it's a year of supernatural harvest. The Bible said, through faith, they obtained promises. They lay hold on the promise of God. They didn't let it go. Through faith, they obtained promises. That's what they did. Wrought righteousness. In other words, in a city where they say people don't believe in God, they came in and they wrought righteousness. They say, oh, people don't want to go to church. They wrought righteousness. And I tell you, we will wrought righteousness in this land. Whether the devil likes it or not, we set men loose from the captivity of Satan. We open prison doors In the name of Jesus, we speak to the heavenlies. And we say in the name of Jesus, let the people go that they may serve the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we break the hand of darkness over this city and over this land. And we speak the light of the gospel. We say that the word of God is increasing in this land. We say that the word of God is finding its place in this land. We say that righteousness is being wrought in this land. In the name of Jesus. It says, who through faith, they wrought righteousness. They chose to make it happen. Hallelujah. Says they obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. Hallelujah. When the devil comes, we stop it. When it talks about the mouth of lions, it talks about satanic attacks. Attacks of the enemy. Say, but you stop it. Hallelujah. Stop the mouth of lions. The lion came and opened the mouth. We stop it. We close it. Come on, shut up. You're not taking no one here. And in the name of Jesus, I just feel like doing this today. Amen. Forevermore. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, we stand as the church of God and we speak over this house, over everyone that the devil has taken in his mouth. In the name of Jesus, we stop the mouth of lions. We release the people of God. Yetu parandekledo supla da sata. Indobre de kila balosa. We say to the enemy, take your hands off the people. Release them. Balitana baradosa. We rescue them from the mouth of the lion. In the name of Jesus. David said, you know, I was looking after my father's sheep. And one day a lion came and took one. You know what? I went to the lion. I slew it. Opened his mouth. Got out the sheep. A bear came, I slew it, opened its mouth, got at my sheep. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we declare by the spirit of faith, everyone that the enemy has gotten a hold of, we release them today. In the name of Jesus, we set them free from the mouth of the lions. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, there are some people that have been in church for a while, and after a while, you don't see them anymore. Because the devil is like, is settled. Jesus looked at Peter one day and said, Peter, Satan has desired you. He has desired you to sift you as wheat. Say, but you know what? I have prayed for you. He can't have you. You go through the trying period, but he will not have you. You'll come out of it. When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Satan knew what Peter was going to do, and he was going to stop him. But Jesus said, no, I've prayed for you. And that is why as a church we stand today and we pray for everyone that the enemy has decided to sit as wheat. And we say, let them be restored. We speak restoration of their spiritual life. We speak restoration of their love for God. We speak restoration to the house of the living God. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Praise you, Jesus. Verse 34 says, quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. In other words, nothing shall by any means hurt me. I do this, I do it boldly, and I do it, and I sleep well. Yes. You see, that is why I teach people here how to walk in faith and not to be afraid of the devil. Satan is not important in what we do. It's not important. That's why we don't celebrate him here. Don't come here to talk about the devil did this, devil did that. Devil. No. It doesn't have that attention here. Because we know where we stand upon the word of God. Amen. Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do the work of God and do it with confidence. You know, by the grace of God, you know, this morning in the pastor's prayer, while we're praying before the service, I was reading to the pastor an email we got from Kenya, from a pastor who said, was telling us about some challenges he's going through about, you know, I don't know him, just got an email and he sent the email to us, you know, and, you know, the challenges he's going through about witchcraft and sorcery in the village where he's pastoring, and about, you know, assuming dead bodies and doing all kinds of voodoo and things like that. you know, and he was asking for prayers that he'd be protected and things like that. And as I was praying, one of the things I was praying for him is that, Father, give him revelation of your word. Give him revelation of who he is. Give him revelation of his authority. Let him understand where you have placed him, so that he will stand and begin to speak to the witches. He will stand and speak to witch doctors without being afraid, knowing fully well that he will escape the edge of the sword. Nothing shall by enemies hurt you. That's what Jesus said. We go to where the lion is, when we sit there. You know, Daniel got in there, and the Bible said the lions, they were all there. Their mouth were shut. Couldn't do nothing to Daniel. Why? Because the angel of the Lord, the one that can drive a car invisibly, can also shut the mouth of lions. Yeah. Hallelujah. And that is why we are not afraid. We are not afraid. Because we know where we stand. We stand upon the word of God. God is greater than the devil. And I've said it many times, God doesn't fight the devil. If you read from Genesis to Revelation, there was no one place God fought the devil. Have you seen it before in your Bible? He doesn't. It's a disgrace to him. You know, there's a, imagine Subai, come here. Come, Subai. Now, let's say Subai is going to fight. Which baby will I see? They all look too big. Okay, let's say Josh. No, Josh. Can you carry Josh? Josh, let's see. Jesse, sorry. Now, Subai wants to fight. No, not Josh. You, I mean Jesse. Ah, the baby. Imagine him. He wants to fight that baby. How would all of you feel here? He was fighting that baby. You see how ridiculous it is? God bless you, brother. That is the way it feels when you say God is fighting the devil. He doesn't fight the devil. They are not in the same class. Hallelujah. He is God all by himself. He is on his own class. He doesn't have a comparison. Are you following me? He is God. You know, one day Satan said, I want to be like him. In other words, it's not like him. I want to be like the Most High. And God looked at him. Oh, you want to be like me? You will go to the dust. And you know what? Then God made man and said, bruise the head of the serpent. In other words, man, deal with him. It's not me, I won't do that. Even when there was war in heaven, God did not fight. The Bible said Michael and his angels were the ones fighting. God doesn't get involved in that. It's too big to get involved in things like that. It's God. Do you know what you're talking? Do you know the God you serve? Do you know the God you serve? The Bible says when he descended on Mount Sinai, the mountain began to melt. Melt. Just his presence passing by. Are you following? The Bible says he rides upon the wings of the wind. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says he's a God. He answers from the secret place of thunder. Do you know what that means? He just answers from thunder. Have you not looked at the world today? Let me not go there. Let me try and finish what I'm doing here. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. The Bible says, through faith, they escape the edge of the sword. Now look at this. It says, out of weakness were made strong. In other words, they started from a place of weakness. They were weak. But faith made them strong. They didn't have strength. But you know what they got? Faith. Faith. Faith will keep you and bring you out of weakness. When God begins to deal with you, you might be a weakling. You might be nobody. But by faith, faith begins to bring strength. You see, Gideon, as weak as he was, when he agreed with God, he became the sword of Gideon. The sword of Gideon. Did you not read it? The Bible says a man saw in a vision a loaf of bread falling over the camp of the enemy and killing everybody. And when they woke up and they began to tell the dream, one man shouted, that is nothing else but the sword of Gideon. I mean, this is a man that was weak, that said, I'm the least. But you know what? When you agree with God, he will make you out of weakness to become strong. It doesn't matter how weak you are right now. All you need to do is say, Lord, I agree. Lord, I believe. Lord, I know what you're going to do. And that is why in this house, I believe what God will do. I see God breaking forth for us. I see God taking us to greater height. I see God opening doors for us. I see God causing us to affect the nations of the world. Not because of who we are. We might look very weak right now, but we have faith. We believe. Out of weakness, we're made strong. And the Bible says, not just made strong. Look at this. They became violent in fight. Verse 34. It says, wax valiant in fight. These were weak people. All of a sudden, they became men of war. They became warriors in the kingdom. They became men that could speak the word of God. They became men that will speak to the atmosphere. They became men that will lay hands on the sick and they recover. They became men that will give the word of prophecy and angels will run to perform it. They became men that raised lame people. Come on, the Bible says out of weakness became strong. And they became violent, in fact. I don't care where you are right now, but it's where you are going to that matters. Where God is taking you to that matters. Where God is taking you to. God's hand is upon your life. I need you to know that God's hand is upon your life and it's taking you somewhere and it will do great things with you. The Bible says they put to flight the armies of aliens. Ele baro tele gradosa. Ile bodokura bagandiata. Hallelujah. It says, turn to flight the armies of aliens. Who did that? Weak men. Weak men, out of weakness, were made strong. Weak people. People that looked like they had no hope. People that looked like they had no promise, but they obtained promises. They broke forth. People, let your faith arise. Stretch your faith. Look at the present situation and begin to speak to it. Look at the situation right now and say, no, you didn't come to stay. You didn't come to stay. Put to flight the armies of aliens. Chase them. You know that report you got? Chase it. It's an alien. Hallelujah. It's an alien. Chase it. How do you do it? Prophesy to it. Speak to it. Obtain your promise. Claim it back. Take what belongs to you. And tell the enemy, Satan, you have no part in this. You are an alien and I put you to flight. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.